Welcome to All the Best. I'm Meryn Winchester. This episode, we explore the idea of glory boxes, but not in the traditional sense. You may have heard of the term glory box or hope chest before. Your mum might have had one, or your grandma or auntie or sister. But what about your brother? If you thought they were a thing of the past, you're wrong. Our first story was produced by Zasha Rosen. This is Three Men and Two Boxes.
So something I've learned is that it can be awkward asking people about their glory box or their mothers, even with someone as nice as Sean.
All right, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully because we've been...
It needs to weave its way in.
No, because every time I ask this question, people laugh, which is fair enough. tell me about the glory box that your grandmother had.
My mother.
Our mother, sorry.
My mother. My mother is an Italian immigrant, and so she was given a glory box before marrying my dad. It was a large metal-clad box with a couple of built-in padlock straps, probably about at least a metre wide. So it was quite large and hefty. It's just been something that's been sitting in the garage, really gathering dust. I remember as a child, one fine day, she sort of went, "Oh, this is my glory box that I got married with," and opened it up, and yeah, it just had a lot of really nice fabric and other bits and pieces that were still in there that just really didn't get used, I guess.
I'd always thought that glory boxes were a bit of a female preserve. In fact, I'd always thought they were a bit of an old-fashioned thing, the sort of thing you wouldn't see around anymore. And then, last year, I was having a drink with a friend of mine at Paramasala, and he explained to me, not only are they a thing that's still around, he had one. In the car on the way back, I asked him all about it.
I'm Dean, and I believe in equal opportunity. Well, you know, I just saw my sisters when they had Barbies, and I heard there was a Barbie version for boys, a Ken doll. I thought, well, you know, if they get to play with a doll, then why shouldn't I? And a Ken doll suited me, so I picked up a Ken doll. And, yeah, I think that sort of flowed on later on when I heard of all these other perks that girls supposedly got, like a glory box, and I thought, yeah, I'll have some of that. So I told Mum, give us a glory box. You know, if the girls are getting one, then I don't think it's fair that they should get one and I don't, so can I have a glory box too? So, you know, it slowly accumulated for years and years. Traditionally, it was something towards a dowry as well. It's something to sweeten a deal when you are betrothed to someone, and generally a woman or a girl would have a glory box set up for her by her family to go away or go along with her once she married. Well, that's my understanding of it, and I thought, why shouldn't that apply for guys as well? I think she got sick of holding it, so I hit pay dirt a couple of years ago. And it turned out for a good, I don't know, bunch of kitchen utensils and about 20 vintage tea towels, I think. I remember my dad wasn't too happy for the first moment. He's like, "Ooh, boys don't have that." I'm like, "Why not?" Sounded like a good thing to have. Oh, it was kind of fleeting for him anyway, you know. I think he just heard it out of the corner of earshot and made his thoughts known and, you know, let it blow away with the wind after that.
So I was a bit surprised to hear about Dean's glory box. I mean, I don't really know any women with glory boxes, and I was surprised to discover that not only did I know someone who had one, but that she turned out to be a man. And I was telling a friend of mine about it, and she lives in a share house. Her name's Sally. Her housemates are Nick and Naomi. And she said, "You know, that may not be as unusual as you think. One of the blokes I live with has a glory box. You should really talk to Nick." While I was there, I got Nick to open up his box. He hadn't opened it in quite a while, so he was a bit surprised by what he found inside.
Okay, so I'm now opening my glory box, which I have largely forgotten what's in here. Everything's wrapped up in newspapers, or it looks like some placemats. Let's see what we got. A Dutch Delft blue plate. Very 1960s serving dish. The reason I have a lot of Dutch plates is because I lived in Holland and my family is Dutch. Ah, I've been looking for this. A bottle of Elixir de Spa liqueur. Hi, I'm Nick. I work in marketing in the chemical industry. In the mining industry, actually. And we're at our house here in Marrickville. We're at my house with my flatmates and a couple of friends. We're having a barbecue, and I guess we're here to talk about my glory box. I've got a glory box. A number of my friends know that I have a glory box, and it did start as a bit of a joke. So where did it all come from? After spending a long time living overseas and really spending a long time living with other people in share houses, I started to become tired of having just cheap secondhand furniture and secondhand household goods. So I slowly started collecting nicer wares and nicer goods and various nicer household items for the day that I moved out of share houses or moved back to Australia and could put together my own house and live in a house where I wasn't scared of things getting broken and destroyed at parties. So it really came down to me wanting to start collecting nice things for the day that I became an adult and managed to get my own house. It did start when I was living overseas. I was living in Holland, living in a particularly, I guess, a boisterous share house, and a number of the items that I had I kept hidden away, and I started to buy some nice things because I was planning on moving back to Australia and I wanted to have my own house and I wanted to have a nice household full of nice things rather than cheap disposable things. At that stage, I'd been living for 5 years in Europe and essentially everything I owned was in a backpack, and so it was part of having something solid and something that I would keep for years that meant I was home rather than just in a house, I guess. That would have been probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I had a set of good kitchen knives. There's been some nice tea towels that I've collected over time. Some other kitchen utensils. A set of silverware. Good old-fashioned 1960s style silverware. It's a full canteen, so it comes with a set of drawers. Full, I guess, for a 3 or 4 course meal, dessert, fish forks. The time I opened the glory box is the time we moved into a house and started settling down, and that was very much the case. It moved from a share house situation to more of a family type situation, and that's when it became okay to open the glory box and take things out. I'd had this locked away at my parents' place, and when we moved into the new house, I brought it down especially and laid them out and spent a day polishing the silverware and put it out on table for a nice dinner. So there was an unveiling, definitely. Oh, it was fantastic. It made us feel it had something special.
Even his housemate Naomi remembers that day.
You were really proud. You're really happy. That was it. I remember the day that you, because I hadn't known you very long. You enjoyed, you know, just pulling it out and cleaning it up and shining it up. And then I do remember we used it that night and you were polishing it. And I remember you said, this can come out now because this is an adult household. This is a grown, you said, this is a grown up household. And I was like, yeah, it is.
Zasha Rosen bringing you stories about glory boxes for men. You're listening to All the Best. Taking you to the other end of the life cycle now, funerals and death can be a pretty sad and depressing time. Have you ever thought about what would happen to your body when you go? Would you like to be buried or cremated? Or perhaps you'd like to go out with a bit of a bang? Producer Natalie Panova found a new way to send off your loved ones after death. This is Ashes to Ashes.
Death. We all fear death. However, what didn't occur to me until just recently is what is going to happen to my body. What do I want my family to do with my dead body? I'm not really sure. I wanted to tell you about something that I came across not that long ago.
What we do is help people celebrate somebody's life and send the ashes up in fireworks with a lot of colour, a lot of sound, and a champagne toast.
This is Craig Howe. He owns a business called Ashes to Ashes.
It started about 3 years ago when I lost my two dogs. So I was pretty lost and wanted to do something spectacular with their ashes. So I went on a mission to become a pyrotechnician.
Not too long after, Craig's friend Warren farewelled his dog Gypsy. He was the first customer.
My dog died a number of years ago, and I've had the ashes with me for probably 8 years, carrying it around with me. And I couldn't find the right moment or the right place to actually scatter them and what to do with them. Finally, I did something with her ashes instead of lugging them around with me. You know, and I feel very happy that she's now free.
So what you do is cremate your pet, give the ashes to Craig, he puts them in special shells, and then they are free to go up.
That's originally what he started it off with, I think.
This is Mervyn, Craig's dad.
He had two dogs and he sent them off up into the sky. And somebody said to him, can you do that with humans? I'm donating my body to science, and when they're finished with my body, he would, if it's okay with me, he would like to send me up in the fireworks. And I said, yeah, lovely. I thought that'd be beautiful.
I believe funerals and death should be celebrated for their life that they had, not be mourned. You know, I think mourned is gone now. It's about celebration. You want people to be happy and joyous. You don't want people to be sitting around going, oh, it's so sad. You know, I certainly want an open bar at my funeral. You know, that's essential.
I'm Father Paul Hilda, Dean of St Mary's Cathedral in Sydney. It's a purely secular idea of when a person lives and when they die, we just remember what they did. Now, there's lots of people that you probably wouldn't be able to celebrate their life because they may not have lived well.
How does it look like?
The atmosphere was fantastic. All the people that were there were very positive and were asking me lots of questions about my dog. And, you know, it was bright. The setting was perfect. Everything on the night for me was just set up perfectly. I mean, I had top quality champagne and I had a big rug and soft cushions. And I was right on the pinnacle of the ground area so I could get maximum viewing of the fireworks. And I had the button in my hand. When are you ready, Warren, to press the button and send her up? And I took a sip of champagne and pressed the button and just sat back and just watched her go up.
Well, I would see it mainly as a gimmick. There are other companies that have other like gimmicks, for example, in America, you're able to have your deceased ashes made into jewellery that you can wear. When a person dies, if they're cremated, their ashes should be treated with respect. They should be placed in a grave or placed in a niche where they can be remembered.
Some people have different opinions, you know, about being buried or cremated, or, you know, and they might, you know, people are very funny about this too. I've had a lot of mixed comments with people that I've been talking to about it, and they said that they could see it almost as a bit anti-religion, because it's celebrating death is not supposed to be, you know, religion. I don't know much about religion, but
the Jews and the Muslims, particularly the Muslims, won't have any bar of cremation at all. Muslims, it always has to be earth burial and the body has to be faced to Mecca.
My mother said, no, I want to be buried. I'm Catholic and I want to be buried. And I find that a lot, the religious segregation with what people's beliefs are is having a little bit of an impact on whether they go up in fireworks or whether they get buried or even as to whether they get cremated. But I took my phone in for repairs one day and I was talking to a lady there and told her, and she went, oh no, that sounds so morbid, and she was horrified. And then when I went to pick my phone up, and she said, you know, I'm Catholic. She said, I had a good look at your website and think about what you do, and I really love what you're doing. She said, it's much nicer than the old traditional, you know, being buried in the ground. She said, I visualise all these people standing around my grave crying, my family and so on. She said, I'd much rather them all smiling and watching up to the sky and watching fireworks go off than watching my coffin getting lowered into the ground. I said, what about you, Dad? Do you want to go up? And he turned and he says, oh, bloody oath I do, son, you know. So I thought, are you serious? And he went, yeah, of course I do. He says, I love what you're doing. He says, I want to go up. Oh, book me in.
There was another problem that was brought up, the lack of space for cemeteries.
Yeah, my dad actually came up with that one. And he said it's great because we're running out of spaces. Look how big the cemeteries are. They're just rolling over hills and everyone's fighting for that little tiny bit of space. So he said, this way, you go up into space.
Well, it's eventually we're not going to have so much space to bury people and everything. And I think eventually it'll come that everybody will be cremated, and the funerals, they're out of this world with the pricing. I reckon, you know, people are getting money to be buried, and then you've got to go and look after the grave and you mourn over people and everything like that. So I reckon you're better off getting sent off into the sky.
Well, you know, in there are some countries, like in Japan, there is not a great deal of space, but they do have places where their ashes are kept. Now, if we run out of space or burial space here in Australia, and, you know, some of our big cemeteries like Rookwood Cemetery are fast running out of space and they're looking for particular spaces and that, but if a cremation it becomes an option, the church would allow that and does allow it.
Cremation definitely is the thing now. You know, I mean, look back in time, it was all about burial, burial, burial. Now it's all about cremation. Everybody in my family I know is being cremated. I plan to be cremated. All my friends plan to be cremated. You know, do you know anybody that's planning on being buried yourself?
But it's still Pacific that the cremated remains of the person, what we call their ashes, which are not really their ashes, it's just their bones ground up to be dust, that because they're part of that person, that they should be treated with respect, not just cast to the four winds or just scattered over the earth.
nothing with the ashes because everything's burnt out of the ashes. So it's not going to hurt anybody. It's just ash.
Because I have loved life, I shall have no sorrow to die. I have sent up my gladness on wings to be lost in the blue of the sky. I have run and leaped with the rain. I have taken the wind to my breast. My cheeks, like a drowsy child, to the face of the earth I've pressed. Because I have loved life, I shall have no sorrow to die.
Natalie Panova there with her story about lighting up the sky with fireworks after death. You're listening to All the Best. I kind of wish I could just play a whole Ursula Rucker album for you, but we just don't have enough time. She is an amazing storyteller, combining music with the spoken word, poetic ideas and philosophy. She will be speaking and performing at the Word Travels Festival at The Rocks in Sydney. For more information, go to wordtravels.info. This is Time by Ursula Rucker.
It's time. It's time, little sparkle in my eye, to fly. It's time, little sparkle in my eye, to fly. To fly. Please, Yahweh, many named, don't make me go to the other side. Why? Haven't I been a good child? Why haven't I been a good child? Angels warn me, fallen angels beckon me, as Satan waits to press me into service. I don't deserve this, curse his heavenly betrayal. Sell my soul, hold my fate in omni hands. Scatter my purity like the sands of 12 tribes while I hide in this flesh vessel given me. Will she protect me? Will she neglect me? Something like false security, these words of love, soft belly rubs, this wet warmth, this fetal form. My scorn becomes need and no condition, and innocent seems like years from God's eye. Two births, first cry. Alive. 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 Child, now miles ahead and miles away, miles ahead and miles away. I still feel betrayed. Mother's milk, though somewhat hot, sweet and loving, but nothing, no, nothing like manna. Scanned the planet for my earth nurse, traversed universe, blessed unheavenly hearth with the gift of me. I know she wants me, but evil's henchmen hunt me. She'll need an army to keep harm from me. Your impunity displeases me. As I grow, their disunity seizes me. In time to be, I will cease to be. Yours, yours, yours. For a score and several centuries, misery, not even a word, blurred by the beam of Eden. But serpent scheming made them heathen. Serpent scheming made us heathens. Fate chiselers, renegades, resistors of the truth twisters. I want those demons screaming underfoot of hearkened angels. Demise won't be too painful. I've learned Darwin's theory well. Just an ism? No, not while my inner schism has me in its grasp, threatening to suck me like Cleopatra's asp. Now I'm the one with loaded guns, murdering other mother's sons, making devils swell with pride as I ride Hades' riverboat, choke on the blood of my victims, sin, my one desire, stoke the fires of hell. I'm in the belly of the beast. Peace
an anomaly, Covenant's Ark and Indiana Jones myth to me. I joined the rest to spit and pee on your memory, your legacy, your love for me. Maybe you'll have someone put a bullet in my heart, start my journey, no, not to kill me, just to wake me. So I surrender, so I remember the wealth of my name, so I remember the wealth of my name. My names have been Jesus and Moses and Muhammad. I see heaven and Canaan and Mecca. My names have been Jesus and Moses and Muhammad. I see heaven and Canaan and Mecca. I see heaven and Canaan and Mecca on my return, as I return, as I return.
That was Ursula Rucker with Time. She'll be in Australia next week as part of the Word Travels Festival. Check out wordtravels.info or allthebestradio.com for more details. And we also have a little task for you. We'd love to hear your tale of sin and virtue. You can go to our website to find out more about how you can get involved, or phone 02 9698 5429 to tell us your tale. That's all we have time for this episode. Thank you to all of our contributors, Zasha Rosen, Natalie Panova, and Ursula Rucker, for their stories. All the Best is produced at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN in Melbourne, Radio Adelaide, and 4ZZZ in Brisbane. All the Best is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Our production manager is Carly-Anne Keneally. Our executive producers are Jordana Caputo and Belinda Lopez. And I'm Meryn Winchester, the features executive producer. Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? Contact us at allthebestradio.com. Catch us next week for more homegrown stories from around Australia.